Boker Tov, Erev Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Parashat Vayikra, Zachor. This is actually one of my favorite shirim to give because the truth of the matter is, unfortunately, Dikduk is one of the most underrated parts of the Torah or parts of Judaism.
Should
we start with the Kaf HaChaim? They know already. They know a million times.
But
you look at Kaf HaChaim, Orach Chaim, Siman Tzemach Aleph, Saif Katan Mundav. It talks about the importance of Dikduk. But I'm going to prove it to you from before the Kaf HaChaim. It's impossible, Rabotai. It is utterly impossible for a person ever to be a true Talmid Chacham without mastering Dikduk. Without mastering Dikduk of Lashon HaKodesh, the Kalala Dikduk, all of the rules, whatever. So it's not, I'm not saying it's a nice thing to know. It's a plus. It's an integral part of the Torah. Just like you have to know master shas, right? That's our what's our slogan?
Own shas.
No, own learn shas, own shas. You have to own shas. You also have to own klala dikduk and know what to do with it.
Because
azov zechshav. Now he says,
that's
Rabotai, I want you to listen very carefully. Okay. Why does this come up specifically? You know, really, Dikduk, Lala Dikduk has nothing to do with Parashat Zachor or Purim or Pesach. Lala Dikduk is every day of your lives. I'll tell you, it's especially obviously applicable to Parashat Zachor, which is Kriyat HaMidoraita. Obviously, it applies to Kriyat HaMegillah, because in Megillat Esther, as we'll soon speak, there are many there are pitfalls in the Megillah that can really give you a flat tire. In your, if you don't watch out for those potholes in Megillat Esther, your Kriyat Megillah can get a flat tire, and then you have to call Chaverim to come change it for you. It's a whole thing. So now, Rabotai, I want you to listen very carefully. First of all, you know now, Milanu Gdolim, you already see the importance of Dikduk from the Geonim and from the Rishonim. Yeah, I would tell you, I would venture to say that 1/3 of the Rashi's ala Torah, 1/3 of the Rashi's ala Torah. Or Dikduk related. Wow. You ever realize that? He quotes, he always quotes Menachem, right? Menachem ben Saruch, Donash ben Lambard. Those were Rishonim on the edge of the Geonim, always quoting Dikduk things and Nikud and whatever. People usually just kind of skip those. They consider those kind of, you know, maybe less important Rashis. Chas v'shalom. Those are the Klala Dikduk are the Yisod of the Torah. To know how to read, to know how to pronounce the words. I said yesterday in my shul, sometimes shuls can become butcher shops. How so? People go up and they butcher the word so much that instead of being a shul, it becomes like a butcher shop where they're cutting meat. The Torah Kedoshah has to be read and learned with precision, with dikduk. That's the way it should be. Now, there's something special that the Sfaradim have. You know, I don't have to tell you, especially among the Rishonim Sfaradim, they were known to be the greatest midakdekim, to be the greatest poets and mishurim, songwriters, holy songs, holy poems. Now there's a piyut, there is a poem, a very long holy poem that the Sfaradim say on Shabbat Zachor. We read it, we sing it. Some say it before Kriyat HaTorah, some say it after Kriyat HaTorah. Both of them are fine. There was actually an ancient minhag to say Michamocha before Nishmat Kol Chai, or during Nishmat Kol Chai, because it's also a praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maran Zichron Bracha was a big proponent of moving it from there, right? Just like we know of Atikach Miriam and the Piyutim, the Kedushot of Yamim and Ara'im, Maran Zichron Bracha was always a fan of not saying it there, rather saying it after Chazarat HaShas, so it shouldn't be, huh? Also Atikach, yeah. So as not to create a hefsek. Aval Mikol Makom, all B'nai Sfarad and Edot HaMizrach say this piyut on Shabbat Zachor. Everybody.
Beforehand.
Yeah. This piyut is called, no, not Mi En Kamocha. Mi Chamocha Ve'en Kamocha. You look in every Sidur, it's there. Many Pirushim have been read. Now what it is, it was written by, it was authored by Rabbi Yehuda Levi. I'm actually going to sing it for you in a second, just so that you know the Nosah, just so that you know the tunes. It was written by Rabbi Yehuda Levi, the author of Sefer HaKuzari. Migdolei Rishonei Sfarad. He was also a tremendous Mikubal. And he wrote it. What he did was it's such geonut and shows such mastery of Tanakh and Dikduk at the same time. It's a whole poem written in stanzas breaking up into stanzas in poetry, the whole story of Purim, and at the end Yetziat Mitzrayim, with every one of the stanzas ending off with a pasuk in another pasuk in Tanakh that ends with the word lo. Can you imagine? There's 40 something stanzas in there. He knew all of the Tanakh by heart. This was pre-Google. He can't just, okay, yeah, show me all the psukim in Tanakh that end off with the word lo. And it has to also fit the rhyme. It's unbelievable, unreal. And I'll tell you the story behind it in a moment. The way it goes, by the way, for the Chazanim and the Kahals out there, is at least every Aida has their own mangina, but this is the mangina Yerushalmi. This is the way Maran Zichron Vacha used to read it. This is the way I sang it in Chavedat. מי חמוך ואין כמוך, מדום אלך ואין דום אלך, אדון חסדך בל יחדל, עמיתך מבשר עוז ומגדל, כי היית מעוז לדל, מעוז לאביון בשר לו. I'll do another two stanzas so you get the point. בימי חורפי מקדמוני, בדיבר רוח אדוני, והיום אם גרשוני אבוני דודי לי ואני לא גמלני מאז טובות גנויות ידועות ללבבות גם יהיו עשרות קרובות אשרי כל חוכי לא. Right, and right, you should try to kind of pick up the speed a little, because there's, I thought it is long. Anyway, Syrians, read the whole thing. Yeah, it's supposed to be a more cheerful tune. Now, yes. The Syrian minhag is only to say the first three and the last three stanzas. Aval, so Meshedis became Syrian. Anyway, Bikitsur, now, Rabotai, listen carefully. Okay, I want to tell you, there's a story behind this piyut that is actually written in Sefer Seder Adrot, and then I'll show you the importance. Watch this. What happened was, Rabbeinu Abraham ibn Ezra was known historically to be one of the greatest midakdakim, paitanim, mishurerim, mefarshim of the era of the Rishonim. So much so that the Rambam commanded his son on his deathbed, Al ta'azov it bin Ezra. He says, never leave learning the commentary of Rabbeinu Avraham ibn Ezra.
I feel like that's argued with the most.
Yeah, I've said that, but the Rambam was super, super a big fan of his. Lived at the same time. Rabbeinu Avraham ibn Ezra was also extremely poor. He was extremely destitute. By the way, besides, what's the most famous song that Rabbeinu Avraham ibn Ezra wrote? No. Kishmira Shabbat.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, Kishmira Shabbat, the stanzas are Asur Mitzochefetz, Boim Tzea Tamid, Rasham Beta Ta'el, Hayom Mechubad, Mechel Melacha, Siman, Avraham. Right? Usually that's what poets or songwriters do, that they hint their, they hint their names, Kishmira Shabbat. There's nobody in Am Yisrael who doesn't sing that. Was written by him. Anyway, so he was in a self-imposed galut to, you know, that's the way he was. He was in galut, tried to make a little money. His parnasa was so bad, he wrote another piyut about himself, a poem about himself that Syrians actually read on Yom Kippur. He says, Rabotai, listen to me. He writes about himself that his parnasa was so bad, his mazal was so bad, that anything he touched turned to dust. That's what he said. Now, what happened? He says, if I would work in the candle making business, if I would sell candles, the sun would stop setting. My parnasa is so bad. And he says, and if I was a grave digger, people would stop dying. That's what he writes about himself, how bad his parnasa was. But anyway, watch what happened. One time he was in Galut, and he ended up in one city, whatever the city was in Spain, in the Beit HaMidrash of Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi. It was just about Purim time. Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi was writing this piyut before Purim, right? That's what the Rishonim did. That's what he specialized in. What happened was, the first 22 stanzas, before he starts mentioning his name, Ani Yehuda Bar Shmuel Chazak, right, whatever. But over there, the first 22 stanzas correspond to the Aleph Beit, to the 22 letters of Aleph Beit. Aleph Beit, Gimel, that's where it starts, like you saw. Adon chastecha bal yechdal, bimech horpi mikadmonai, gimalani me'az tovot, aleph bet gima. There was one problem. He said, during that time that he was writing the poem, he had a daughter who was getting older at home, and she didn't find the shidduch yet. his wife was very, you know, she was nudging him, I guess, a little bit too much to find their daughter a shiduch. But I guess for whatever reason, he didn't find her an appropriate shiduch, but she kept nudging him. This brought down in Seder Adorot, you know, nudging him. So what happened was, one time Rabbi Yehuda Levi got upset at his wife, one time when she nudged him, and he made a shvu'ah. He said, you're nudging me so much. He made a shvu'ah that he's going to marry his daughter off to the first man that he meets in the Bet Midrash. That was a shvu'ah. And he was very, you know, they were taken aback by the shvu'ah, and then he probably also had charata. But right afterwards, now he went to the Bet Midrash. At that time, who was sitting in the Bet Midrash? Rabbeinu Avraham ben Ezra, but in disguise, like a poor man, torn clothing, looked very poor and pitiful. And he walked in. Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, the Rosh Yeshiva, walked into the Bet Midrash, and he came back home and he said, unfortunately, the first man that I met in the Bet Midrash was some poor, wretched looking man. And unfortunately, due to my shvuah, this is going to have to be your shiduch. And the daughter was upset, and the wife was upset, needless to say. So, some time went on.
The nudging's not going to stop.
What? Watch what happened. Some time went on, Rabotai. This is Lichvod Purim, Tachivu Tov. He was writing his poem of Mi Chamocha Ben Kamocha. And he was doing Aleph. He was writing the stanzas. Aleph, Bet, Gimel. When he got to Resh, to the letter Resh, he got stuck. He couldn't think of a stanza that should begin with the letter Resh. He got stuck. As he was writing the Bet Midrash, Barachlo. Very interesting. What happened was, he closed his sefer, he put his pen down. I said he decided, I guess, to take a walk, whatever's clear his head, and hopefully when he comes back, a stanza, you know, with the letter Resh would come to him. In the meantime, the poor man in disguise, Rabbeinu Avraham ibn Ezra, went, he saw that Rabbi Yehuda was perturbed. He opened up his sefer, he opened up the book where he was writing the poem, Mi Chamocha Ben Kamocha. He opened it up and he saw what happened to him. He saw that he got stuck at Resh. What did Rabbeinu Avraham ibn Ezra do?
He wrote the line.
Pinch hit. He came in while he was gone, nobody was there. He wrote the line as follows. You look over here. He says, Ratza ha'echad lishmor kiflaim, mishmarto mishmeret chavero shtei yadayim, ve'asheni sam besefil ha'mayim, sham sam lo. Which is over there. It's a reference to Bigtan Beteresh. Yeah, he put the poison. Sham sam lo. He put the poison in the water. So, and he filled it in, and then he went back to being in disguise. The Yehuda Levi came back from his walk.
How was he in disguise, though?
That was part of his galut. He didn't want people to know who he was.
Why?
Whatever it is, there was a big tzaddik. Yeah. So, mikol makom, Rabbi Yehuda Levi, takshiv ata. So, Rabbi Yehuda, he was extremely poor. Who's gonna? You know any women that want to marry poor men? Now, it says like this. Lo be'emet kacha. So now, even though he was migdolei ador, aval lo yeh lo kesef miskin. Now what happens? Rega takshiv. Rabbi Yehuda Levi comes back in and he opens up his sefer, his notebook, where he was writing the poem, and he sees, Resh. He sees the stanza with Resh. What a beautiful stanza. It's following the story. He says, but I didn't do that. He's looking around. He looks, and there's only one person in the Bet Midrash. He sees this poor man with tattered clothes, and he's thinking to himself, the only person in this generation that could do that, he knew of him, is Rabbeinu Avraham ibn Ezra.
Oh my God.
He says, you are fake news. He says, he looked at him. He says, he looked at Rabbi Avraham, and he says, he took off his thing. He says, I don't care how you're dressed. He says, you're Rabbeinu Avraham ibn Ezra. Nachon? He says, top. Mani Agib. Okay. Says you're right. He says, says besimantovu mazaltov. Says you're gonna be my chatan. And what he say? He took him, gave him a lot of money, gave him a lot of ashirut. From then on, he was said because Rabbi Yehuda Levi was extremely wealthy. Wow. He made him very wealthy, and he got married. What happened after that? It came back to him. You look in the next part. The only one of the aleph bit that has two in Michamocha is Resh. The next one, it says, Rachasha Estel HaMelech Beimre Shefer B'Shem Mordechai V'Nichtav B'Sefer, which means, Rabbi Yehuda Levi wrote his own stanza, but out of Kavot, Rabbeinu Abraham, he didn't take out his. So you look through the Aleph Bet, there's two Reshes. You understand? Yeah. It's not only poetry, it was the mastery in the Lashon, Lashon HaKodesh, the mastery of Tanakh, Rabotai. This is, Rabotai, listen very carefully. Yeah, it was yeshiva shana for the Rishonim, so and the Geonim. It should be yeshiva shana enough for us. The master Tanakh, the master Lashon HaKodesh, it's a really, really big thing. So it's when you're reading it, the story mamash, and then after the Aleph Bet, then it starts with what? Achar kol ha-devarim. Ani, Yehuda, Ben, Harav, Shemuel, Halevi, Chazak, he goes, here, let me tell you the whole, he says the Siman, after the whole Aleph Bet, Ani, Yehuda, Halevi, Hakatan, Berabi, Shemuel, Halevi, Chazak. They always end off with Chazak.
That's a poetry word?
Yeah, they usually end off the poetry always with Chazak. Anyway, Bekitzur, it's big, big stuff, especially in Parashat Zachor. I don't have to tell you, Rabotai, for Parashat Zachor, just like we take, even in the Halachot, we take the Sefer Torah, Achim Mehuda, the most Mehudar Sefer Torah for Parashat Zachor, which is the Oraitim. Yeah? You take, everybody comes to Shul. Anashim, Nashim Vataf, preferably, right? Now, I'm saying women preferably. But just like you take the Sefer, the most beautiful Sefer Torah, you have to take the most expert Baal Kuru. You have to take the Baal Kuru, who's the most expert, who's the most midakdik. Why? Because the Oraita. Yeah. And also Parashat Para, according to Maran, is the Oraita. I'm going to teach you now, Bezat Hashem, once and for all, tell you the different Chilukei Minhagim and Adeot with regards to the Aleph Bet. Okay? With regards to the pronunciation of the letters of the Aleph Bet. Okay, and the Nikud, and then I'll tell you certain places where these can make a mistake. I will tell this very carefully. Okay,
should we try this at home?
But I tried this at home. Now, I think it's recorded, no?
Yes.
Okay, Rabotai, please listen carefully. Now, and I'll tell you also when there's differences in Minhagim, and Adot, I'll point that out to you. Okay, now, lest you say, nah, you know, Dikduk is not such a halachic thing, it's a nice thing, it's a skill. It's an art, but it's not a halachic thing. That's fake news. Because the Gemara tells us, and it's also halacha and Shulchan Aruch, hakore le'alfin aynin, ul'aynin alfin. Right? A person who mixes up between aleph and ayin. A person who calls chaf, chet, chet, chaf. Right? He mixes everything up. Ma'avirin oto. If he's a chazan, you're fired. Go home. Yeah? Yeah, Rabotai.
Is it lost? Didn't make fun of somebody?
Oh, yeah.
I don't.
You don't need the kudot. You can do it yourself. Rabotai, listen carefully. Rabotai, please listen carefully. En lanu arbe zman. I want to try to explain the difference in letters, pronunciation, and the kudot, and how it can make a difference in kriya. Aleph is aleph, right? Aleph with a patach, let's say, is a. Yeah, that's it. That's all it is. And there's not a lot of things there. Bit and vit. Okay, listen very carefully. There are Adot in Am Yisrael, especially among Iraqis, among Syrians, Egyptians, Lebanese, that whole area over there, that do not differentiate between bit and vit. That is a legitimate minhag. It is brought down by the Minhag Shai.
Is it Makish? It's a bit or it's a vet?
They're not Mavdil. They call Abraham, they would say Abraham.
Abraham.
Yeah, that's how they say. Aval, Mikol Makom, Rov Arishonim, and the Medakdakim, especially Minchat Shai, they say that the most correct is to be Mavdil, to separate, just like there's a difference between all of the other letters with or without a Dagesh, Bet is no difference. And therefore, we have Re'ayot from Rishonim, Dran, and the Ramban, in Masechet Ketubot, Afchet Amud Bet, they say Meforash, that the way to pronounce a Bet without a Dagesh is Vit, the V sound. That is the most correct, according to Klalei HaDikduk, is bit and vit. Chakeh ata im avav shelcha. Now he says like this. Now,
why can't you say it's just strong with a dagesh? And then without it's burn. Like it's not.
Because we don't, by bigot kefit, there's no such thing. By bigot kefit, we don't say, okay, let's take a cup. With a dagesh, without a dagesh is burn. And with a, no. And then without a dagesh is ka. No, that's not true. Everybody agrees that by bigot kefit, right? Look, yeah, by the kaf, chaf, kaf. All of a sudden, by bet ma, ba, ba. Lama, it's part of the bigot kefit also. Yeah, fit, right? Pe and fi. No, without a dagesh is ka. And with a dagesh, pa. No, it's pe and fi.
So this?
No. It's a legitimate minhag. Moving on to Gimal. Gimal is a very, very tricky one. Because a lot of people are not mavdil. They do not separate between a gimel with or without a dagesh. And that is actually a mistake.
Wow.
Now, obviously, gimel with dagesh, there are different minhagim. Temanim pronounce it differently, but according to the Sfaradim, our minhag, as brought down in Rav Pa'alim as well, gimel is with a dagesh is pronounced gimel. G.
Like a G.
Huh? Like a hard G.
Like a hard G.
Now, as follows, Rabotai, a gimel without a dagesh, please listen very carefully, and this is actually the emet, and anything other than this is not the emet. Maran Zichron Berachah was always omed. He
every day tefillah, not,
amen. Yeah. Gimel without a dagesh is a r sound. A r sound.
There's a video of Rav Avadia.
Yeah, yeah. Mikey, make the thing louder for a second. Wow. Yeah, yeah. So what does that mean? If you think about for a second, the Israeli resh, you know, Israel, right? Yisraeli with the resh, that's not a resh, that's actually a rimal without a dagesh. So just remember that. Okay? Now, that is gimel and chimel. The same, remember, begid kefit, those letters, those six letters, with or without a dagesh, change the sound. So we got the bit and the vit. We got the gimel in the rimal. Now we have dalit, which is also part of begit kefit. Dalit rabotai with a dagesh is d. Pashut. Yeah? Without a dagesh, it's a totally different sound. And it is the, like the th sound in the word the. Or that, okay? That is the sound of a dalit without a dagesh. Hence, nafkamina shema, but even more importantly than the word echad is the shema shem. How you pronounce shema shem. It's not people usually say, donai. Yeah, that's how they say it. Lo nachon ze ta'ut. It has to be rather, I'm being mafsik, so as not to say the shem, donai. You understand?
Every
that's the
time?
Difference. Huh?
It's always, no.
When she says donai,
it's always
zonai. Yes.
Everyone laugh. No one does it like
Bruch.
Hello.
What do you mean?
Now.
Everyone doesn't say Hashem's name.
I've never heard this
before.
Like that.
Ezra is chiming in. Ezra, Matom.
I'm saying, according to what the Rav's saying right now, I don't think anyone says Hashem's name every day.
No. It's not me'akev such that if you said, donai, then you're not yotze. Of course you're yotze, but it's not the most correct.
Bivadai. Oh, you're talking about lechatchila, lechatchila. Okay.
Bivadai.
So your tefillot have a better chance of getting accepted if you say it the right way.
Your tefillot have a better chance of being accepted if you say them bidiyu. If you say them bidiyu.
Ashkenazi say Adonai as well?
No. Now, don't say the shem. Now as follows.
Right.
Now,
it's allowed, no?
Now as follows, Rabotai, listen carefully. He, there's not much to say about a he, rather than it's a h, right?
It's
but mapik he at the end of a right possessive female, right? Possessive feminine in the Torah, right? If you say her husband is isha, right? Which means it's not isha. It's Be'isha Gerusha Me'isha, which means you don't have to drop a bomb on Ukraine. Not Isha, right? You don't have to. I've seen people do that too. Elama.
Is that been slang?
What?
To drop a bomb on Ukraine.
Yeah, anyway, so now listen carefully. Rabotai, listen. Isha. No, kacha. Now, moving on.
That's everywhere.
Where there's a mapik, where there's a hey with a dagesh.
Like when it's isha, you can't say in a Kaddish, people like to say with the hey at the end.
Yeah, not like to. That's the way it is.
That's what you're supposed
to do. Yes. Yasmah purkane vikare, because it's possessive. Yeah, or.
No,
same thing. If it has a patach, let's say, it's a good example. Mapike, wrong. Let's say the word Eloha, right? That's wrong. That's wrong. It's not Eloha. Ela, it has to be Ganuv. Ganuv means Eloha.
What?
Just like, that's how you say it. Just like Rabotai. How do you say the word? How do you say open in Hebrew?
Patua.
Yeah. So you don't say, right? For, You don't say patuach. It's not patuach with an aleph. It's like a little bit of a wasan. You say patuach or poteyach et yadecha. Not poteach. Lo poteach. Ela poteyach. Yeah? Now, like in this week's parasha, parashat Zachor. Big mistake. Ve'ata ayef ve'yarei. Right? Remember the rimal over there was that. Ve'yarei'a. Lo ve'yarei'a. Ve'yarei'a. No nachon. Ela ve'yarei'a. That's the way it goes. Now, Rabotai, moving on to the Vav. Okay, I'm trying to crunch thousands of years of Kalela Dikduk into 40 minutes. Okay? So now, listen.
I've never heard these concepts.
Yes. Now, he says like this. Now, he says, Rabotai, Vav, not, right, notwithstanding the common minhag of Rov of Am Yisrael, Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, pronouncing the letter Vav, with a V sound. Now, by the way, most, myself included, in most times, besides for Parashat Zachor, I do stick to Vav being Vav. That is the opinion of several Rishonim. The Ran and the Ramban in Ketubot Daf Chet Amud Bet write that it has the same exact sound as the Vit. Nevertheless, Rav Sa'adiyah Gaon, Alav Shalom, in his Kalela Dikduk, writes that the letter Vav is made Na'asa al Yede Kibbutz Asfatayim, which means the letter Vav is made by joining, by puckering the lips. Right? What is Kibbutz Asfatayim? If it's Vav, Vav, how do you make a Vav? It's your bottom lip and your top teeth. Vav. Understand? That's not with your lips. That's bottom lip, top teeth. How would you make Kibbutz Asfatayim according to Rav Sa'adiyah Gaon? What? Wow. Wow. The W sound. W, wa, you do by bringing your lips together. Wow. Therefore, according to Rav Sa'adiyah Gaon and several other Geonim and Rishonim, the letter wow is actually wa and not va. And if you have this problem of, hey, you have different letters sounding exactly like one another, Rav Sa'adiyah Gaon here is your Hatzalah. Why? Because he tells you it's not a va like a vit. It's a wa like a wow. You understand? Now.
So it does it both ways?
Now, by the way, listen. Many edot among the Sfaradim are makpid on wow. Everybody knows. The Iraqis are makpid on wow. Yeah? Ben Ishchai Barosh Rishona. Tunisians. I don't know if you ever heard a governor of Mazuz Shlita speak. But he's makpid even when he speaks Hebrew. He says, wadai. Yeah? Because that's the wow. Moroccans, old-timer Moroccans, also makpid. Temanim, also makpid. Many times, now again, the prevalent minhag is not like that. Maran Zichrono Livracha, he went back and forth. He sometimes did vav, and sometimes did wow. Because, if you remember, which Aida was Maran Zichrono Livracha part of? It was Iraqi. He grew up Iraqi. By Iraqis, there's no such thing as a vav. There's only wows. Therefore, he grew up and it was ingrained. Later on, he adopted more Yerushalmi minhagim, right? Not necessarily Baghdadian minhagim, but he still sometimes, I remember him sometimes when he was Chazan for Slichot, sometimes it just used to come out. So, what do you see? Sometimes just he had it ingrained in him. Yeah? Both of them are legitimate minhagim. So I try very much during my tefillah. That's the one thing kim'at that I have the most difficulty with on Zachor am makpid, 100%.
On wow?
On wow. Oh. Yeah, because the more correct, according to the Geonim of Sa'adiyah Gaon, is wow. So everybody agrees that that's the most correct. Wow. The minhag might be different. Now,
so Rabot, why not also with Shema Bizman Doraita?
Yefet, because Lidat Manana Bet Yosef and Siman Samach Aleph, the only part of Kriyat Shema, which is Deoraita, is the first pasuk. There are no wows in the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema. The rest of Kriyat Shema has plenty of wows or vavs, but that's the Rabbanan. So therefore, you want to tell me to be makpid by Kriyat Shema deoraita, you only have to be makpid for the first pasuk. Yeah, but that's not really deoraita. It's not deoraita. Rav Sa'adiyah Gaon?
I don't know
what his name is. He was one of the greatest Geonim to ever walk the earth.
From where do you live?
Well, he grew up in Bavil, then he moved away from Bavil and opened up a yeshiva in Mitzrayim. Yeah. There was a rule, this is also brought down, that you had to, in order to be accepted into the yeshiva of the in Mitzrayim, you had to learn Dikduk for 3 years first, and then you could take your entrance exam to the yeshiva. Shamat Tata? Anyway,
3 years.
Moving right along. Zayin, Rabotai, I gotta move. Stay with me. Zayin is Zayin. Just when there's the, on any of the letters that are not bigot kifit and have a dagesh, the sound is the same. The dagesh just makes it stronger. There would be Zayin or Zayin. Sometimes you do. Yeah. No. Sometimes there's dagesh in the Zayin. Or, now, Chet, Rabotai, very important. Chet is a guttural letter. Therefore, it's called Otiot Groniot. Four guttural letters in the Alephit. Aleph, which comes also from the back. He comes from the back of the throat. Chet, okay. Chet and Ein. Some also include Kuf, but that's a different story, okay? But Chet is very important. Sometimes people mistake a Chet for a Chaf or for a He. Right, yeah. So it's neither. Remember, yeah, lo tishkach, right? Guttural letter, not lo tishkach. What is it? Lo tishkach. Yeah. Now, moving right along, tet. Please pay very close attention. How to now tet is not a taf. Okay. Now here's the way to pronounce the letter tet. Totafot. Watch. I did it quickly. But it's not totafot, because the letter taf only comes from the edge of your tongue on and attaching to your palate. Taf, right? Taf. That's all it is. Tet is a little bit stronger. It requires 3 points on your tongue. Listen carefully. Front of your tongue and the two sides. Therefore, not tav, ela, tet. Which means, what did I do? Instead of just attaching the tip of my tongue to my palate, I also attached the sides of my tongue at the same time. Tav, plait, plait. Ukshartam le'ot al yadecha vehayu letotafot b'na'inecha. You understand? Plait. No, that's just like... No. It's in it. I'm not biting. Look, I'm going to open my mouth so you can see. Listen carefully. Stay with me. Yeah? These are things that they don't usually teach in yeshiva, unless you're learning Kisei Racham. But yeah.
If you're in yeshiva, you have to pronounce it wrong. Now,
Rabotai, listen carefully. Look at my mouth. Plait. I'm open. Now, kind of the air kind of came out, but plait.
I'm sorry.
Plait. You see where my tongue is? Plait. Yeah? No. That's the way. Now, if it's a dagesh, it becomes chazak. Plait. Harder. Now. Weiter, Yod. It's not Yud, it's a ta'ut. The Fi Azor HaKadosh, the Nikud is with Cholam. Yod. Yeah. Yod.
Yeah.
Huh?
You see the whole
Aleph is wrong. Could be. Now, he says like this. What? Yod. Not Yud. Yod.
Is it Gimel or Gimel?
Gimel.
It's not Gimel?
No.
That's Ashki?
Yes. Now, Rabotai, listen carefully. Yod. Now, Kaf, Chaf. Very easy. Yeah, Bigot, Kefet. Two different sounds. Kaf, Chaf, Zil. Lamed, okay? Lamed, easy. When it has a dagesh in the Lamed, it becomes, where do you emphasize? Lamed, yeah? Lamed. It becomes a little bit stronger. Now, next you have Mem. Mem is easy. Without a dagesh, Mem. With a dagesh, Mem. Yeah? So, Vaydaber Adonai El Moshe Lem. Well, actually, that's a Lamed. Lemor. Right, Lamed has a dagesh, Mem does not. Sometimes like, or we saw yesterday in the Daf in Yevamot, Hema, not Hema, Hinna, that's with the Nun, but Zimma, Zimmahi, yeah, Mem, Zimma. Same thing with the Nun. Yeah, Nun, without a dagesh, with a dagesh, Hinna, stronger a little bit. Samach,
that's enough for me now, the Nun, it's... Anenu.
Yeah, for instance, let me give you another nafkamina. What does the word yamim mean?
Oh,
okay, what does the word yamim mean?
Water.
Seas.
That's how.
Now, Yamim.
Yamim.
Yamim. Sees.
Yamim, yeah. It's Ma'akev. It's a Rashi there, no?
No? Yeah, yeah. Now, next, Rabotai. We're up to Samach. We did. Samach. With the Dagesh. Samach. Okay, get ready for another Ot Gronit. This is funny because if you're of, hello, Tekshivata. If you're from Middle Eastern descent, Ein becomes much easier for you because it's shared with Arabic. Yeah. Now, so it's like, I don't know if they have it in Persian. I'm not sure. But in Arabic,
yes.
An Ein? Ein. So the word, it's not Aleph. You see many times, right? Oh, Yodea. Maze Yodea. Yodea. Yodeya ta'alumot. Yeah? Maze Yodeya. Yodeya. Ein.
Also say
yeah. Nachon. Ve'ata ayef. If you do. Ve'yareya. Ein. Okay, now.
Don't mix.
No. Usually ein is a, unless it's an ein with a patach at the end of a letter, at the end of a word, like ve'yareya. Then it becomes the ya.
Is there a
Yadu joint? No, there's a Riman with a Sire. Yeah? Now, Rabotai. Pe, that's easy. Pe, fe, because it belongs to Beget Kefit. Now, yeah, the next, this is another hard one. This is very similar. Okay, Rabotai. Many Sfaradim make a mistake with this letter, right? The, well,
yes, sir.
Most Ashkenazim, the pronunciation is not correct according to us. T. Right, which they say
T-Z.
They make a TZ. Tsa, taut, lo nachon. It's incorrect, yeah. Right? It's
TS.
Right, well, it, TZ, TS, it's wrong. That's not the sound. It's not tsa, and it's also not sometimes if you're really among Persians, among sometimes you say, let's say, sisit, right? Sisit is either with a samach or a sin. It's not sisit either, okay? It's not sadi, okay, because then it becomes either a sin or a samach, which are the same letter, they're interchangeable. Rather, what's sadi? Sadi is, once again, the same thing you did to the tet by pushing up, tet, you do with a sadi by blowing out. Look, you put your tongue in the same position. Put the tip of your tongue on the palate. Hello, takshivuto. Palate is the roof of your mouth. That's your palate. Okay. Now, what did you do for tet? You put your tongue on the tip and the two sides together, and you pushed up, right? Tet. Okay. That's tet. Put your tongue in the same position. Listen carefully. Put your tongue in the same position, and blow out. Sadi. No, not a lisp. Don't lisp. Rather, sadi.
Sadi,
which means it's sharper. It's sharper than your regular sin or sama. So it becomes sisi.
Huh? Yeah,
it's
not sadi. What's the whole thing?
Sadiq.
No, no, it's not sadiq. It's sadi dalit yod. Sadi. Sadi. Okay. Now.
And what's the correct way of saying gimel again?
Gimel gima. Now, Rabotai. Now, if you have a dagesh in this regular sadi is pretty sharp. Sa. Dagesh in the sadi, sharper. Sla. You understand? Okay.
But
now,
dagesh is gimel.
What?
Dagesh
is good. Now, good. Moving right along. Rabotai, stay with me. Don't move. Okay? Stay with me. Now, moving right along, we have the kof. Another very big mistake that people do is that they call a kof like a kaf. Right? How do you say a monkey in Hebrew?
Kof.
Kof. Right? Kof. Ta'ut. Elama. You call it. Look, this is also considered a guttural letter. Kof.
Kof.
Like you're coughing from the back. Kof. Like that. That's a kof.
Amalek.
Yeah. Not Ya'akov. Ela Ya'akov. That's why many times when they're writing in Iraqis, when they write in English, they refer to that letter with a Q. Right? Not with a K or not with a C. Rather, right? Obviously not with a QU because that would make a Ya'akov. Right? But what?
Bravo. Same thing when we say the Nagdisha, right? When Kadosh.
Yeah, Nagdisha or Kadosh. The famous video of Maran Zichrono Bracha chastising his son. He says, Mazek Kadosh, Kadosh. That's not the way it is. Ela, it's Kadosh, kadosh. Also, timche et zecher amalek. Amalek. Right, Rabotai. Now, wait, I'm not done yet. Because that's not, it must originate in the throat. Rabotai, I want to tell you something else. Sometimes Persians overdo it, and I'll tell you what I mean. Right? They say, Ya'arob. 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 No, but it's supposed to be Ya'arob. Yeah, some, that's not it either. It's close, right? It's closer, but it's not it. It's not
Ya'arob.
Ya'arob.
Is it better than
Kup? It's not it. So what does it matter
is
whether
it better
it's
better than Yankiv?
Now, therefore,
Rabbis, some Persians also, they make the Rimal and the Kof very similar, but it's not the same letter. So that's also wrong. Yeah.
Nachon? Because Rimal has nothing to do with the throat. Remember, Rimal, Kof, throat. Now, moving right along, you have another very, very big mistake or misconception about Ot Resh. Ot Resh. Okay, now listen very carefully. The Israeli Resh is a Resh, which we've already said that Lefi Klala Dikduk, that sound doesn't belong to a Resh, it belongs to a Rimal. Now you have sometimes the American Resh. Yeah, or even sometimes you see Sfaradi boys reading, for instance, Vaydaber Adonai El Moshe Lemor. Right? Yes, lifamim. Zelo Resh. Right? Resh has to be, the Gaon Mivilna is Medayek from Tikune HaZohar, that Resh has to be Ot Leshonit, a tongue-based letter. Now, if it's, watch, if it's Resh, that has nothing to do with the tongue, and if it's Resh, it also has nothing to do with the tongue, it's lips. In order for it, it has to roll off the tongue as so. Resh.
Resh.
Resh. No.
Resh.
No.
Resh.
Israel.
Lemor. That's the most correct Resh.
Is it wrong to do Lemor?
That's fine. That's fine. Obviously, you don't want to overdo it because even in Dikduk, overkill is overkill. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to. Now, by the way, the Kapchaim also writes over there that when a person is being Medakdik, don't overdo it so that people laugh at you. Do everything. Uh-huh. Be normal about it.
How do I practice this stuff? Get used to it.
1 second. I'm not done yet. Then we have Shin, Sin. Ze pashut. With a dagesh. Without a dagesh. Shin. With a dagesh. Sh. Pardon. Sin. Without a dagesh. S. With a dagesh. S. Yeah.
What's the difference between Sin and Sana?
Same. Same letter. The Mefarshim explained that it's exactly the same sound. That's the only thing in the entire Aleph Bet.
Why do we have two letters?
They're interchangeable. Interchangeable. Many times you find in the Rambam. How does the Rambam spell Sota, Cheres?
Yes.
How does the Shas spell Sota and Cheres? Sama. With the Sama. How does the Rambam spell it? Sin. Right? It's exactly. I'm making it up. Now he says like this. Now. Rabotai. Now we have the last one. Hello, hello. Listen carefully. Okay. This is Taf with a dagesh and without. Now, obviously, with a dagesh, easy. Taf. But remember, when the Taf loses the dagesh, it's part of Beged Kefet, which the rule becomes that what? It must have a different sound. Now, Sfaradim have a little bit of a problem with that in general because they don't differentiate between a Taf with or without a dagesh. But by all of the other Beged Kefet, we do differentiate. So shouldn't we differentiate? Yes, says all the Midakdakim, Agon Rav Mazuz and others. Now listen to this. Ashkenazim do differentiate. But how do they differentiate with or without a dot in the Taf? Taf or Saf. Yeah.
That we know is like Sama.
Oh, many of them, that's their Minhag, but many of the Midakdakim say that wouldn't be fair because the Saf would then become what? Like the Samach and the Sin. Be'emet, Hagaon Mimunkach. The Minchat El-Azar Mimunkach was Makpid, even though he was Hasidish. In the middle of Aleinu, he wouldn't say, like Ashkenazim, L'sakein o'ilam b'malchus shaddai. Right? L'sakein, right? Which means to fix. Because for them, when you say L'sakein, what is that? L'sakein? Instead of to fix, it means to endanger the world. So he would change his higui, the minchat el azar, and he would say letakein olam. Unlike the minagah. Now,
therefore, what about hayom haras olam?
Gam. Now, as follows. Now, Rabotai, listen very carefully. What is the correct, the most correct of the pronunciation of a tav without the dagesh? Yeah, you see that. Look at the Iraqis. Look at the Timanim. Old timer Moroccans also, they make this distinction. It becomes a TH sound of the word. Remember, I told you for dalit, it's the TH from the or that. The tough without a dagesh is TH from the word three or with. Thou.
Shabbat.
Yeah. Velo thathur. Now again. Yeah. Lathith mitar artsechem
be'ito.
Huh?
Now, would always say
tough. It would go back and forth. But he was pretty makpid on the th. Huh? That I don't remember. I don't remember. Huh? Now, Rabotai, it doesn't mean, I'm telling you these things for a second, it doesn't mean that Rome was built in a day. You know what I'm saying? These are very literally dropping bombs. It doesn't, and also in the Gduk, it's not all or nothing. It doesn't work like that. Slow, you know, if you want to adopt it, and also if you have a certain minhag in your Eidah, for instance, let's say you were Syrian and you say bet across the board, you don't have to change that. That's the minhag of Avotecha, right? But if you don't have a certain minhag, these, what I told you now, are the most correct. These should be adopted slowly but surely. I'll tell you the truth. Agon Chacham David, Yosef Shalita, I was the Chazan for many years in Yechavedat, and he asked me many times. Before he hired me to be Chazan in Chavedat, I asked him, because he's not necessarily makpid on all of the pronunciations. He's a very big medakdik, but he calls a resh, and he, you know, he's not mavdib ben tap leta. So I know that. So I asked him, because he knew I'm medakdik, so I asked him, how do you want me to read? Do you want me to do my dikdukim, or do you want me to follow your lead? He says, no, I want you to do all of your dikdukim. Yeah,
Rabbi, can you?
Yeah, which means what? What does that mean? That means now, even when a person, let's say, grows up and it's hard for him to adopt, we know that this is the emet la'amita, the proper pronunciation. What? Yeah.
Can you just quickly also touch about the pronunciation of nekudot?
Yes, I'm getting there now. Okay. So that's the aleph bit, especially for zachor, especially for kriyat shema, megillah, things of that nature. Person should kore, hakore chema velo dikdek beotiyotea, yatsa, maze yasa. Right? The Kafachaim says it goes up to Shemaim handicapped. Yeah, takshiv. Now I'm going to talk about the different nekudot real quick. I'm not going to get into all of the rules, because some of them are tnuot ketanot. Some of them are tnuot gedolot. The rules change depending on how they are, where they are. Just the pronunciation of the nekudot. Rabotai, common Sephardic misconception is that there is zero difference between a patach and a kamatz. Yeah, that is a mistake. By Ashkenazim, there is a major difference between kamatz and patach, because they say, what do Ashkenazim say? Kamatz, komot,
o.
And patach is a. So by them, there's a major difference. By Sephardim, there's not a major difference, but there is a minor difference in the higui. For instance, Rabotai, listen carefully. Kamatz for the Sfaradim is, remember, what's kamutz? That you should consider your mouth like it's full. Oh, right? So, which means it's not oh, like Ashkenazim, but it's not ah with a pe patuach. Why do we call it patach?
Ah,
because you have an open mouth. Yeah? What's a kamatz? When your mouth is slightly, when it's slightly more close. Oh, right? Not oh. Yeah. It's a slight, again, it's very, very, it's a slight difference. Listen, let me tell you, many times, Sfaradim will pronounce Shem Hashem incorrectly. For instance, watch this. They'll say, what's the Nikud under the pronunciation of Shem Adnut? Under the Aleph, you have Chataf Patach. By the Dalit, you have Cholam. Under the Nun, before the Yud, what do you have? Chamatz. So many people will say, Ah, Baruch, Ata, Ah, Adonai. That's a ta'ut. In Lashon HaKodesh, Adonai means my masters in plural.
Wow.
If you want to refer to Shem Hashem, it's Adonai. Do you understand the difference? I. Very slight. I. Understand?
No,
it's not just the pitch. It's the right, practice with your mouth. A little bit. But your mouth is also a little bit crunched up. Now, that's with regards to... Yeah. Now, with regard... Sfaradim pronounce Tzere and Tzegol exactly the same. The only difference for us is that one is Tenua Gedola, one is Tenua Ketana. And even when there is a Yod after a Tzere, for instance, many by Ashkenazim, how do they say Bnei Israel? Bnei Israel. We don't, in Lashon HaKodesh, according to the Sephardic Mesorah, we do not have an A ever. Wow. It does not exist. There's no A. Tagid Mike.
There's no Tzere. It's all Segol.
The two dots being A, the two dots
being E. But properly, wouldn't the Segol be A?
That's Temanid. No. Only. No. Only Temani. Our Masoret, our Minhag is E and E. Bene Yisrael. One is a Tenua Gdola, one is Tenua Ketana, which will then impact the pronunciation of the next Tenua. Now, Rabotai, listen carefully.
For example,
now, what? Bene Yisrael.
We don't pronounce the
Yud. Bene. We don't say
Bene. Also, the Shiva with the Dagger. Oh, also, another one. Yeah, Rabotai. Shiva Na. According to the Sfaradim, Shiva Na is very similarly sounding to a Segol and a Tzit. Now, again, there's a slight difference, but I'm not going to get into it now. For instance, Shema, right? Remember, one is a longer one is E and one is E. So Shiva is like a Segol in that it's E. Shema. Tzere is slightly longer. E. You understand? Now, Bidu. Bet Midrash. As opposed,
it's not the letter. It's the
narrow botai. What else do we have? You have cholam and I skipped chirik. Now chirik is the one that there are some. Now again, over here we do tend to differentiate between male and chaser. What do I mean by chirik male? When there's a yod after it. Now, as follows, rabotai, listen carefully. Many sfaradim, and it's not wrong to pronounce chirik as e. As Ashkenazim do, E. But the real correct way, if you look at the Syrians, they don't say all chiriks as E. There's a very slight difference. When it's chaser, when there's no yod after the chirik, it's more E. E. And when there is...
Mishraim.
Yeah.
Mishraim. Mishraim.
Yeah. As opposed to... Yeah, good example. As opposed to... Mitzrayim. I'm just over. It's not Mitzrayim, Ela Mitzrayim. Right? If there was a, or what about by Sisit? Right? Remember, Sisit has a yod, so it's Sisit. Right? So there's a yod. So you understand? Chirik chaser e, chirik male e. Okay. Now, cholam o. That's basically now. Not only that, when we have a chataf kamatz, yeah, maase yede oman. It becomes the same sound as the cholam. That's the minagas faradim. Now, shuruk, yeah, as opposed to many Iraqis, if there's a shuruk, like let's say the word uvne Israel, yotzeim biadrama, uvne, sometimes Iraqis will do, that's a minhag of Baghdad, to do uvne. They put a wa, uvne Israel. Aval, bishvilenu, that's not true. Shuruk, no matter where it is in the word. Whether it's in the middle or in the beginning, it's always ooh.
Bro, why do right? You do as that if sometimes? There's
a, never.
Never?
He wouldn't. Yeah.
Also, like Musaf Tfila, what is it?
Mista Wu. Mista Wu.
They would say Mu.
So if you're doing with a W, Mista Wu. And if you're doing with a Vav, Mista Wu.
They would say Musa.
No, Musa. Well, that's they only overemphasize the Wu when it's a Shuruk Berosh Mina. So anyway. Bekitsur.
It's the same as a vav with a dot.
Yeah, it says when there's a vav and a dot in it, a vav in the dot, that's called a shuruk. We always pretend there's an aleph in front of it. Wow. You understand? You know what I mean by that? Ulam, as if there's an aleph in front of it. Never as if there's a vav in front of it. Ariel, tashumata? Now, he says like this. Yeah? Is this getting to Wayu? Is this?
Yeah.
Now he said like this. Yeah, okay, besed. Bring your friends, tagid lahem, kacha korim. Now, rabotai. So that kubutz, which is the three diagonal dots, is the same exact sound as a shuru, just without the vav. Ooh, yeah? So, rabotai, I wanted to speak about a lot more, but this Shabbat is your chance to practice. For all you ba'alei korim out there, yeah? Bezat Hashem, yeah? I'm going to read it now. I gave you a piece of Michamocha ben Kamocha. I'm going to read Zachor. I'm going to read Zachor the way I do it. Now again, for Zachor, I told you I'm personally makpid with a wow, but you can also you can substitute the wow for a vav, either or. So I'm going to read it now. Okay, so I'm going to read it now slowly in case you want to. Now I'm going to do with Ta'amim of Yerushalmi. But you can, the Ta'amim, really, you can do it with Persian Ta'amim or Moroccan Ta'amim. That's not what's Me'akev. I got it.
Start.
Zachor et asher asa lecha amalek baderech besetechim mimisraim asher karecha baderech weizanev becha כל הנחשלים אחריך ואתה עייף ויריע ולא ירא אלוהים והיה בהניח אדוני אלוהיך לך מכל אויביך מסביב בארץ אשר אדוני אלוהיך נותן לך נחלה לרשתה תמחה את זכר עמלק מתחת השמיים לא תשכח.
No way everyone can make out what he's saying.
Rabotai, we're going to pause this for a second and go to Parsha.
These Persian niggas are going to understand.
I'm sending that to the chat.
Rob, you think these random Persian niggas are going to understand with the
word? Mikey, it killed my video.
What?
Ruined it again. Sure.